Those that are staying here can turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Look at Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to go back and read the last two verses of chapter 4. Just by way of review. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the Word of God that we have. We thank you for our freedom. We thank you for such a great salvation. Thank you for the opportunity that we have this day to, again to teach it. I pray you'd take your word and touch every heart and life that's here. Give me a freedom and ease to speak your word that only you can give. And touch every heart and life with it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. During the last part of chapter 4, Paul compares the modern return to the law of the Galatians to the gospel, and he compares it to the two first wives of Abraham, to his free wife, which was Sarah, and to the bondwoman, which was Hagar. And he compares it to two Jerusalems, the Jerusalem on the earth and the Jerusalem from heaven. And so he's making this the two covenants. Now, if you live by the covenant of the law, and it was a covenant to live by, then you have to obey every bit of the law or else you stand condemned. You break the law in any part, the minor part, any little part, you're condemned. If you come by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, you're no longer under the law because Christ paid for the law. He paid the debt of every lawbreaker. His sacrifice is the one sacrifice that pays for all sin of all mankind for all time. One sacrifice for sins forever, and it's all paid. That's the gospel we preach. Now, he is dealing with these Galatians because somebody has come in and said, no, it's a good thing to have Christ, but you have to not only have Christ, you've got to go back and be circumcised and keep the law of the Jews, or you can't be saved. Now, there are people like that around us every day today. There are people who say, you can't be saved just by faith. You have to live a good life. And if you sin, why then you're going to go to hell because you'll lose your salvation. Or they'll use the phrase, the last thing I read here, you're fallen from grace. And I'll explain that to you in a little while. That's not what he's talking about. Now, the truth of the matter is, you are saved by grace if you're saved at all. And I want you to understand something. You ought to know, if you know yourself at all, if you're honest with yourself at all, you ought to know that if you could not keep the law before you were saved in order to get saved, you'll never be able to keep the law in order to keep saved. It just, practically speaking, it's foolishness. You haven't thought it through. And that's what these people have done, and that's what a lot of religion has done. Why? Because there's a great deceiver out there in the world. His name's Satan. He's real. He's not a myth. He's not something out of the dark ages. He is real. Read about him in the Bible. The Bible's telling you the truth. He was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. He wanted to be God, and he led a rebellion in heaven. Now, when he led that rebellion, I have no idea. But he did lead that rebellion. And it looks like about a third of the angels followed him. But you know, nowhere in this Bible do I read where there's any salvation for any angel. There's not forgiveness for any angel. No angel can be forgiven. Sin one time, they're out. Rebel against God just one time, they're out. Why do you have a salvation? Why can we preach salvation to you? You have a Savior. There's no Savior for angels. There's a Savior for men. And how did He become a Savior for men? He became a man. He went to the cross and died as a man. And as a man, a perfect man, a substitute man, He died for all sinful men. That's the only way you get any salvation. So as He's talking here, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You can't have it both ways. It doesn't work. It's not keeping the law and trusting Christ. It's either or. It's either or. Now the law, is the law good? Of course it's good. The law is righteous. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. All that's good. When was the last day you did that? Oh, I've had a few days when I loved the Lord for an hour or two. Or a moment or two. 24 hours a day? No, I don't think so. I've had people tell me, you know, how do you get to heaven? Well, you live by the golden rule and you keep the law. You don't know what you're talking about. What part of the Bible are you leaving out? You're forgetting the whole New Testament. Read about Christ. Christ was cursed with our curse that you and I might be set free. That's the freedom we have. And so he starts off then, we are the children of the free. So those of us that are Christians, that's who he's talking about. If you're trusting Christ for your salvation, you're the sons of the free woman and not of the bondwoman. Now he talked about the Jerusalem of the earth that now is. He said it's in bondage till this day. He was talking about his day. Probably about 65 or 70 A.D. Well, I want you to know they're still in bondage. That Jerusalem that is now, still in bondage. Well, I'll tell you what. There's a whole lot of cities in the United States that are in bondage. A whole lot of people in San Antonio that are in bondage. They have placed themselves in bondage to the law, and they've never been set free by Christ. And my friend, if Christ has not set you free, you are not free. Living by the law will set you free? Not on your life. Because the law is like a chain. You break one link, the chain's no good. The only power is that every link holds. You break one commandment, and what does that make you? A lawbreaker. A lawbreaker. You've broken a commandment. That makes you a transgressor. And then you may not be a murderer or a rapist or a pedophile. You just may be a speeder. Do the police say, well, you were only speeding? I never had one tell me that yet. Well, I'll just let you off because you were only speeding. You're only going 90 to 30. No problem. Huh? They don't do that. The law says, well, I didn't know the law. I remember one time when the speed limit, I think, was 55. And I think I was in the military. And we were broke. Broke most of my life. And we were really broke because I was in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico. We'd been visiting at home. We're heading back, driving 87. They didn't have 10 in those days. We're driving 87 back to Roswell, New Mexico. And I see this policeman on my tail. I was doing about 75. But I see this policeman back behind me and said, boy, I slowed it down. Put it right on 55 or 60, whatever the speed limit was. We're driving along, and I'm driving just as, and he's right behind me. He doesn't turn on his light. I bet we went 5-10 miles. I'm thinking, when's this guy going to pass me, or when's he going to stop and turn around? Well, he didn't. All of a sudden, he flips his lights on. Motioned me to pull over. So I pull over. He pulls me over right in front of the sign that said, speed limit 45. I'm sitting there with it right in my windshield. And I know I'm dead. And I'm way out here in Mason, or past Mason on 87. And he takes me all the way back to another town, maybe Brady or something like that, to a justice of peace at night. And I had to pay him every dime I had. I don't know how we made it on out to Roswell. We did make it. But we didn't stop and buy a steak dinner on the way. I'm not sure how we got gas. I hocked my watch a few times to get gas. But you know what? I was breaking the law. Now, I didn't know that. He knew I didn't know that. That's why when he pulled me over, he didn't have any argument. He just pulled me over right in front of the sign. But see, I'm a lawbreaker. I broke the law. And I had to pay for it. I paid for it in time because he turned me around and followed me all about 20, 25 miles back on the road that I was going. I got to pay everything we could dig up out of our purses or whatever to pay the fine, whatever it was, and the court cost and whatever at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Then we had to turn around and head another 400 miles to get to Roswell. Now, it costs to break the law. That's what the law is for. There is not a law in this Bible that will give you life. And what is the fault? The fault is not with the law. The fault is with human beings. The fault is with us. It's not that the law is bad. Everything the law tells you is good. Whatever the law tells you is good. It's righteous. It shows you God's idea of what is right and what is wrong. But you know what the law does for you? It does you a great favor. It lets you know you've broken it. You know, I meet people. I've been out knocking on these doors for 30-something years. Just right in this neighborhood. I've met people that have never had a Bible in their hands. I've met people that never heard of Daniel in the lion's den or David and Goliath or anything else. They don't know anything about it. Never been to a Sunday school in their life. They don't know the old gospel stories. They don't know about what Jesus did with the woman at the well. They don't know about all these things like it. I was raised up with them. I thank the Lord for being raised up in a Christian home, and where the stories my grandmother would tell me were Bible stories. I mean, when I say Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go, that's my grandmother Kincaid. She said, Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. And that's the way I learned the story, you know. That was being raised on that stuff. I used to embarrass my mother by going and running up in a revival meeting and grabbing the leg of the preacher. I got a good spanking for that one. But I thank God for that kind of a background. If you know the law, you know what you'll understand? That you're a lawbreaker. Don't get the idea that only great major sins that will send you to prison are sin. Yes, they are sin. But little white lies are sin too. Lust is sin too. Anger is sin too. All kinds of sins that you can commit in your own mind, in your heart. Putting anything in front of God is a sin. Now, we really would not judge anybody very harshly for that. Because we all do it. But does that make it any less a sin? No, it doesn't. So, we're talking about the law. Praise God for the law because it shows me I'm a sinner. Now, once I know I'm a sinner, should I run to the law? Some people do. That's a great big mistake. Running to the law because the law cannot save you. And what the law does? The law condemns you. And the Bible says it's our schoolmaster, our teacher, to bring us to Christ. Once you see what Christ does in His salvation, why would any reasonable man ever go away from it? You got to be fooled to go away from it. Because that's what He's telling about these Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth that's been evidently preached in front of you? So, he says, stand fast, chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Now, he just got through talking a whole lot about these two women, Hagar and Sarah, and about heavenly Jerusalem and earthly Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem is free. Sarah is free. Hagar was a slave in bondage. Her children were in bondage. Same way with Jerusalem, which is of the earth, is in bondage. And anybody else that is living by the law, or, let me say this, whether living by the law or not, anybody else not in Christ. Christ is the only place you get freedom. You know why? Nobody else ever paid your debt in your place. That's a simple answer. The only reason you can have any freedom at all is because Christ makes you free. And in fact, the Bible in John says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. That's a very exclusive statement. And a lot of religionists don't like it. They don't like it to be so exclusive. No, no. What about the Buddhists? What about the Muslims? What about all the others? What about the Jews? What about everybody else? My friend, Jesus made a very exclusive statement. If the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. But I want you to know, if you don't know the truth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you'll never have freedom. Never be set free. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. I want you to think about liberty. Now, there are problems in our generation. I don't know how many of you would fit into that. I'm not sure. I saw something on television where a person was questioning people about the 4th of July. And he's questioning grown people. Well, first started out with a 14-year-old kid. Said, what's the 4th of July? Well, it's Independence Day. Independence from what? I don't know. Independence from whom? I don't know. Well, let's call your father. The father's probably 45, 50 years old. Calls him over, said, what's 4th of July? Independence Day. Independence from whom? I don't know. When did this take place? They didn't know. Well, let's call the mother. So the mother comes over. Well, she's smarter, they all said, you know. She couldn't answer it either. They went through the boy, the father, and the mother, but they happened to have their grandfather there. I'm thankful they had the grandfather there. I used to tell my kids, and my kids all graduated from Churchill, you know, high school. I used to tell them if they went to Burbank, they'd learn some things. We had good teachers at Burbank. I'd ask them some questions they didn't know. I said, if you went to Burbank, they'd have taught you that. This old man, they ask him, what's the 4th of July? He said, Independence Day. Independence from whom? Britain, England. He knew every answer. Right on down the line. He just popped every single one of them down the line. Now, I know that those younger people were as smart as that old man. Maybe they weren't taught it, because I know they teach a lot of different things today in classes than what they taught years ago. They've changed an awful lot of things. But maybe it wasn't emphasized. Maybe it wasn't taught. Maybe they had some bad teachers. I really don't know. Maybe they happened to be the dummies of the class that weren't listening. You know, they were more interested in girlfriends and boyfriends than they were in American history. Liberty. Do you realize what you have? I think most of you do not. Because you've never been in bondage to any man. You don't know what it is. You don't know how much liberty you're giving up, how much freedom you're throwing away. Paul's telling them, stand fast in the liberty. You know what I thank God for every time I get up to preach? That I can preach without going to jail. Read your history. Didn't always happen that way. Just because you preach the simple gospel that we preach right here, and go to jail for 12, 15 years or the rest of your life or be killed. Around the world, all these countries around the world, you think you can preach the gospel freely in all these places? No. They may say you can. Try it. See what happens to you. Norm has written us a letter here the last few months. Three friends of his were Christian preachers. They were assassinated in Turkey today. This is a couple of months ago. They were people he knew, went to conference with. Why were they killed? Simply because they were Christians. You live in a place that has the freedom of the gospel and the freedom to preach the gospel, and you don't appreciate it. The Bible says in the last days there'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, I'll tell you what, we love our football and we love our basketball and we love our track and we love our tennis and we love our swimming and we love our whatever. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They don't pay preachers those kind of salaries. And really, if you're saved, thank a preacher. If you're saved, we say today, well, if you got freedom, thank a soldier. And if you can read, thank a teacher. Well, if you're saved, thank a preacher. Thank a witness. Thank a somebody that carried the gospel down to you. And I tell you, some people paid a price. A heavy price for liberty. I love my freedom. I'm so thankful for freedom. You ought to be thankful for freedom too. Amen. Now then, not just political freedom, but what about freedom in Christ? The truth shall set you free. Jesus is that truth. He said, I am the truth, not a truth. Not one of the truths. I am the truth. There is no freedom outside of Christ. You may have the liberty of America and be an American, born free. You didn't have to buy that freedom. You didn't have to emigrate here to get that freedom. But you know something, friend? You're not really free if you don't know Christ Jesus as your Savior. And that's not being religious. You can be religious and still be in bondage. It's not church membership, nor is it baptism, nor is it good works, nor is it taking the Lord's Supper every week. If you could not keep the law to save yourself, think about it, you cannot do anything after you're saved to keep yourself saved. Now, church after church you're going to go to. And you know what they'll teach you? Well, you got to eat these certain foods. If you don't eat these foods, why? Well, you can't go to heaven. You got to be baptized. I even heard a preacher once say one time, told a lady, you couldn't be saved because I wasn't in town to baptize you that day. How about that for pride? You had to be baptized by him. Said that over radio. I know you weren't saved that day because I wasn't in Atlanta that day. There's a lot of foolishness going on out there. There's some think, well, if you don't take the Lord's Supper every week, why, you lose your salvation. Now, wait a minute. Boy, a bunch of you would lose it. Amen or oh me. Buy the truth and sell it not. Pay the price to get it. I don't know how many things people put in on church members saying their salvation depends upon it, but it doesn't depend upon anything but whether Jesus pays your debt or not. If Jesus doesn't pay your debt, my friend, all of your debt, every bit of your debt, you're in bondage today. You have no freedom. And you'll split hell wide open with all your righteousness, with all of your self-righteousness, with all of your perfection, with all of your good things. That's the thing that's so important. You need to get it into your head, what he's talking to the Galatians about. Christ is the answer. He's the only answer. But once he's your answer, he's your complete answer. I've been saved preaching the gospel right at 50 years. I'm happier today to just claim nothing but Jesus. I imagine I've knocked on more doors than anybody in this room. I imagine I've preached to more people than anybody in this room. I imagine I've passed out more tracts, preached on the street more. Probably led more people to the Lord. You know what? That doesn't ensure my salvation one day further. It doesn't keep me saved 1 hour longer. Then a person who just got saved and has done nothing but sit in a pew for 50 years. Our salvation rests on the same thing. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now that upsets some people. Good people. See, some of you are naturally just good. You really are, as we compare human to human. None of us are good before God. All of us are failures before God. But you know good and well, there's some people you'd rather be around than others. There are some places I don't go at night. You know, I just don't go down there. I don't need that, whatever it is. I'm not stupid. And a gang of toughs for $25 will kill you. So there's certain places I just would not go at night. Now you say, oh, they got the greatest this, they got the greatest that. I don't care. I'll live without it. Freedom in Christ means my sins are paid. I am free before the law. There's not a single part of the law that I have broken that has not been paid for in Jesus Christ. Now some would say, and the accusation comes many times, well, if I believe like that, I just trust Christ and then live any way I want to. Well, you know, I'm living any way I want to. This is what I want to do. Now you see, I was a church member 10 years. It didn't change me. I got saved 50 years ago, and I got changed. And I want to tell you, if you think you've got Christ, but you haven't been changed, you're mistaken. Once Christ comes into the heart, He changes you. I don't want to do the things I used to do. I don't want to go where I used to go. I'm embarrassed to do what I used to do. I sometimes catch myself in a bad situation and I realize it and I say, oh, how do I get myself out of this now? Because I don't want to be there. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. That doesn't mean I don't sin. I sin every day. I can't preach one sermon through without sinning somewhere. Probably by getting mad at some of you. Preachers don't get mad, do they? I do. I don't know about you. I've got a temper. And I have to control it. And sometimes with great grace I do control it. But it takes great grace. Putting up with people's the toughest job in the world. It's also the best job in the world. I love people. People are one of your great joys. But hey, people can be a pain in the neck. And other places. So he said, stand fast therefore in the liberty. Liberty. I've been set free from the condemnation of the law. I've been set free from the judgment of God that condemns a man to hell. I'll never face that. Never in the future will I ever face that. What does John 3:16 say? It says it so many times in so many ways in the Bible, but sometimes you just don't think about it. John 3:16. Everybody ought to know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Do you know that phrase? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Over and over and over in the gospel, it's made as clear as it can possibly be. Now that does not mean you have a license to sin or I have a license to sin. Let me explain something to you, friend. Sin is not sin because it's pleasurable. Some of you have the idea of God that the reason why He made these laws was to take all your joy away. His whole purpose in life is to be killjoy. A lot of young people think that about their parents. You just don't want me to have any fun. You just don't want me to grow up. You just don't want me to be a man. I'm a man. I'm a woman. You don't look like it. Sorry, but that's the way I feel about it. In fact, I've seen a few doctors that I didn't think was out of high school. Didn't look like it. They may have been awful smart boys, you know. Got out of there awful quick, but boy, they sure look young. And the doctors are looking younger and younger to me. I don't know why. They're just looking younger and younger. It's a shame. Think about it for a minute. Sin carries a consequence. Not just hell. Hell is a great big consequence for sin. Yes, it is. You die in your sins, you die in a sin, one, and you'll go to hell. If all your sins aren't paid for, you're going to go to hell. Sin's not going to enter heaven. Jesus paid it all, the old song says. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. What do you get when you get saved? You get freedom from the condemnation of the law. You get justified before the court of heaven. And you get an entrance into heaven with God forever. Now then, the day after you get saved, let's suppose you go rob a convenience store. You say, a Christian wouldn't do that. Oh, there's Christians doing it all the time. Any sin that a lost man can do, a Christian will do. And some of them are doing it. That's why we have to have discipline in the church sometimes. That's why we have to rebuke some people. That's why we have to walk and talk. I don't like doing it. It wastes my time. It keeps me awake at night. It bothers me. I don't like it, but I do it. Sin carries a consequence. Okay? You decided that you were going to get drunk. You're driving down the road drunk and you hit a tree. And it cuts your left arm off because you had it hanging out the window. And you get up and say, Lord, forgive me. And He does, but He doesn't put your arm back on. You ever notice that? I've noticed that. Some things cost you. You may be born again. You may be going to heaven. But you live like the world. You ignore God and consequences are going to come your way. You're a fine Christian man. You got a lovely wife and two or three sweet children. But there's a cute little thing at work that's just as loose as a goose. She got no more morals than the alley cat you got out behind your house. Oh, but she's good looking. Man, her lips drip like honey. She tells you what all she's going to do, and your wife's been a little ornery lately. She's tired and she's fussy and she wants to be petted rather than petting you. And you say, wow, man, this is a gift. And you commit adultery. And you're saved. That's not going to send you to hell. Oh, but my friend, it may cost you your marriage. It may cost you your health. It may cost you your profession. It may cost you testimony. It may cost you in money, in respect. You may lose the wife and those kids. And somebody else may have them somewhere down the line. You think it doesn't cost? You don't play with sin. Why does God say certain things are sin? Because they hurt you. Have you ever noticed that people that go down these muggers, they don't care how it hurts you. They beat you up. You can't work. They steal all your money. They burn your house down. They go out and cheat some old folk out of their retirement, out of their savings, and they laugh about it. They don't care. They couldn't care less if they're destitute and have to be kicked out or lose their home or whatever.
Sin costs.
You go ahead and sin, Christian friend. You just ignore what God says. Guess what's going to come your way? It's going to come running. It'll be coming down in a new Ford Mustang, boy, with a 584 engine in it, rolling right down the road. It's heading your way. You don't play with sin and get away with it. You think you can dabble with it and you can play with it and you can tickle yourself with it? No. You've been set free from the condemnation of the law. You've been set free from the judgment of heaven. But as long as you walk in this earth, my friend, sin still has a consequence for you. Now, that doesn't mean that if you sin, you lose your salvation. Doesn't mean it at all. Because if what gives me, with what the gift that God gives me is eternal life, what is eternal? Forever. It doesn't end, does it? If you gave me eternal life today, and let's say I didn't take the Lord's Supper this week, and so I'm supposed to lose my salvation in some churches if I don't take my Lord's Supper this week, you know, faithful there. Okay, so I miss it here, now I'm lost. Right here. I just lost my eternal life. Okay, tomorrow I come over here and I repent of it and I get it back. Whatever it was, it's temporary life, it's not eternal life. You understand what I'm saying? If I had eternal life right here, it never ends. It's not you get eternal life when this life ends. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath, that's present possession, everlasting life, and shall not, that's the future, come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, you are saved and saved forever. That doesn't mean you can't sin. There are born-again Christians headed for heaven that are in prison right now. They're born-again Christians headed for heaven that were born again before they ever went to prison. You ever been stupid? Quite often. What does it cost you to be stupid? Huh? There are people sitting in this room right now that if I had them tell you their story, they could tell you their stupidity and the cost they're still paying for it. I don't want them to tell you their story. It gets our gross. In fact, I wish I didn't know it. I don't tell my wife everything I know. I don't tell you everything I know. You don't need to have it. You don't need to have it in your mind. You don't have to deal with it. But people do stupid things and pay heavy prices for stupid things. There are people that can't get comfort in their heart and can't get peace in their heart because they can't forgive themselves for their own stupidity. Now, are we all tempted? Yes. And what you need to do is what old Joseph did. Get up and run. For whatever it is. Get up and run. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now let's bring it back to the context of Galatians. The Galatians had the gospel preached to them. They accepted Christ as their Savior. They trusted Christ alone, not the Jewish religion, not the law, not their good works. And then along comes these Judaizers from Jerusalem. And as they come up here to Galatians, they find these believers meeting in the name of Christ. They say, wait a minute, you don't understand. You're missing something. It's right, Christ is who He said He is. He is the Savior. But it's only for Jews. Those that have become Jews can become Christians. You've got to be circumcised and become a Jew. Obey the law. Same thing is happening today everywhere. You got to be baptized. You got to be baptized by us. Now, there's right ways and wrong ways to be baptized. The word baptized means to dip, to immerse. Simply what it means. And by the way, have you been to a funeral lately? When they take them out to the cemetery, do they sprinkle dirt on them? No, they bury them. Baptism is a picture of a burial. So the idea, I've seen there's a great painting from the Middle Ages, and it shows John the Baptist standing in knee-deep water or waist-deep water, and Jesus beside him, and John the Baptist has a little water in his hand pouring it on the head of Jesus, baptizing him. If I were going to do that, I'd take a canteen and take care of all of you right in a few minutes. His sprinkling would do the job. Why in the world would John the Baptist walk halfway out into the Jordan River if all he's going to do is pour a little water on Jesus' head? Doesn't make any sense at all. And it doesn't fit with Scripture. Baptism is a picture of a burial. And when you bury somebody, you cover them completely. So, you have to be baptized to be saved? Well, let me say yes. In one sense, you have to be baptized in the Spirit. What happens to you, you know, in John chapter 3, he's talking about the new birth. The new birth is a spiritual birth. Your old birth is a water birth. Your old birth is a human birth, a physical birth. Now, the only people that can be born again are people that have been born once already. Angels cannot be born again. But humans can. Because humans already have been born. They've been born of the flesh, but that fleshly birth can never take you to heaven. Because the flesh is flesh and everything it does is flesh. The very best flesh there is on the face of the earth is still flesh. And God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So you must be born again. So yes, you must be baptized into Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. And that's the operation called born again. God takes you and puts you into Jesus, into His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and you become a spiritual son of God. That's the spiritual birth. Now, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's telling that these people, because now that you have your freedom, and I don't know how many of you are going to be around here, you're going to get a job. Somebody's going to take you somewhere. You're going to spread and go. Your kids are going to get up and leave. Most of mine have left. They're going to go. You're going to go lots of places. You're going to be looking for a church. You're going to be trying to meet with other Christians. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find a lot of different ideas out there. And all of them aren't the truth. All of them that say the truth on the front of the door aren't the truth. There's probably 30 different kinds of Baptists. About the same number of Methodists. Pentecostals? Man, there's 500 different kinds of Pentecostals. And everything else out there. You got a lot of differences out there. What are you going to judge on? Well, the first thing you better judge is how they teach salvation. The most important thing. What think you of Christ? And he's telling them here, don't put yourself back under the bondage of the law. Now that I've been set free from it, yes, I see the law. Yes, the law is preached. Yes, I understand the law is righteous. Yes, I understand. I want to please God, so therefore I don't really want to break the law. But as far as my salvation is concerned, keeping the law has nothing to do with it. You couldn't keep it. The Jews, for 4,000 years, have not been able to keep the law for salvation. You can't keep it. Either. It's by faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ who died in your place on the cross of Calvary. Now, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If what you're trusting is your circumcision, you're not trusting Christ. If you're trusting your baptism, you're not trusting Christ. If you're trusting your changed life, you're not trusting Christ. If you're trusting your church membership, you're not trusting Christ. You understand me? If you're trusting Mary, I think Mary was a virtuous woman. God wouldn't have chosen her if it hadn't been so. But my friend, there's only one mediator between God and men. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Mary isn't mentioned there. So if you are trusting Mary to get your request before God, you're not trusting Christ. Think about it. You've been set at liberty. Don't put yourself back under bondage. Don't go back under the law. Don't go back trying to keep the law. The food laws, the ceremonial laws, the moral laws. You can't keep any of them. They were there to show you what perfect righteousness is. They were there to point you to Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the world. So what he says is, if you're trusting your circumcision, now then you've been saved, but you went back and got circumcised to really be saved, then Christ will profit you nothing. How does Christ profit you? When he's the only way. He said it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Read these next two words. No man. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you understand that? If you understand that, there's hope for you. If you don't understand that, my friend, you don't stand a chance. You have no hope without Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are, how religious you are. I don't care how many churches you belong to. I don't care what religious deeds you've done. If Christ doesn't pay all your debt, if you're not trusting Him and Him alone, not Christ and the church, not Christ and baptism, not Christ and works, not Christ and the priest, not Christ and the preacher, Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone. He's the one to pay the debt. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you realize how audacious a statement that is? How exclusive that is? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What about the Buddhist? If you're worried about them, better go out and preach to them. What about the Muslims? You really worried about them? Better, you better get out there preaching to them. What about the heathen down in South America and Africa? Well, you better get out there and preach to them because that's the only way they're going to get saved. Not going to save another. Reason why we send out missionaries? Most of the money that comes to this church goes out of this church to preaching missionaries. $25,000 or $30,000 a month. Why? Because people don't get saved unless they have Christ. You can put shoes on their feet and a hat on their head, and clothes on their backs, and food in their bellies, and they'll die and go to hell just like they would otherwise. In fact, you probably didn't do them any good. You got them used to shoes because you gave them a pair of shoes, and when these wear out, they can't afford to buy another one. But you preach the gospel to them. Some of them will get saved. I'm thankful for the liberty in Christ. Recognize the liberty you have in Christ. And this one thing you do not put yourself back under the bondage of the law for your righteousness before God at all. Once you trust Christ, you live by faith in the Spirit of God. What do? You'll probably keep the law better than you ever did before. What do? You'll probably be more faithful to God than you ever were before. And yet you'll be the one not trusting it. It's a beautiful thing. Well, I sure didn't get near as far as I thought I was going to get. But God bless you.